living a good life does not save you, does not cleanse you of your sins. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And John is saying, walk in God's light. Stop walking in darkness. Know and understand the truth, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That word is cosmos in the Greek. It means the world, the universe, and everyone that lives in it. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The choice, there's free will, the choice, that's up to you. That's up to me.
Who opened your prison door?
Aloha, and welcome to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Searle from Calvary Chapel Leeward Coast, located in Waianae on the island of Oahu, where the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is bringing salvation to the lost and discipling the saved. Now, let's study the Word of God.
Who came in the nick of time?
You call God false and you deny his truth. This word liar, it means falsifier. That's heavy. Because what you're saying is, God, your word is not true. What you're saying is that, oh, all these things that I've been reading is rubbish. It's false. That's what you're saying. Please know and understand the gravity of that. This word for liar, soustase, that John uses, Jesus used this same word in John chapter 8, verse 44. And guess what he used it in the context of? The father of lies. Who is who? Satan. You see what you allow into your heart and into your mind? That's heavy stuff. And this is alarming to me, and yet this is where I see many churches today. You see, they see the truth of God's word, and yet they deny it. They reject it, and they do what they think is right in their own eyes. And that is so, it's not good. And in the context here, the Christian is saying, God, you're wrong. I'm not a sinner. I'm good. And oh, by the way, I don't need the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon my life. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of his glory. In chapter 2, John now addresses the believers as my little children. And I love that he does this, because this is a Greek term, and it is a term of affection. As a grandfather to their grandchild, as a teacher to the student. Spoken in love, because you want to build them up. You want to love on them. You want to encourage them. Jesus used this same word when he spoke to his disciples in John 13, verse 33. Paul also used this when he was talking to the believers in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. You see, John is saying to you guys, my little children, because he's been kind of putting them on blast, yeah, so to speak. And so he wants them to know, hey, my little children, I'm saying these things out of a heart of love. Please know and understand that. I'm not condemning any of you. I'm giving you the truth of God's word, because I want you to grow in your walk. I want you to remain in that fellowship of light with God the Father. I want you to remain in the truth. That's what he's saying. All of that and this introduction of my little children. And he says, I write to you so that you may not sin. The verb that we just talked about, the act of sinning. And what John is saying is that in the middle of all of this, he's saying, don't misunderstand the promised forgiveness and cleansing. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, he is just. Yes, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but do not use that as a crutch. Because I've seen Christians do that. I did it myself. You read Romans 6, it talks about that. It talks about God's grace. We read Romans 5, the forgiveness that we have, the redemption, the justification. In 6, it says, oh, now that we have this grace, so what do? You continue sinning? Paul says, certainly not. Because of his grace, because of the forgiveness, we don't sin. Does that make sense? Don't walk in sin. That's what he's saying. And he's saying it in love. Instead, we are to focus on our walk in the light as he is in the light. To remain steadfast in his holiness. To live sanctified lives. To die to sin. That's what he's saying. That's what he's encouraging us. James chapter 4, verse 7, right? We went through the book of James. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the standard. This is what you and I are to walk in. Verse 9 says, lament and mourn and weep. Does your sin make you lament and mourn and weep? Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. That's what it says. Now, as we walk in the light as believers, if anyone sins, John writes, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This word advocate, parakletos. Now, those of you who study the Bible and like to look at Greek words and Hebrew words, you know that this is the same word that Jesus spoke of regarding the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. But it says counselor. It says comforter. That's the word here. John uses it. You see what this word means? It means summoned. Called to one's side. This word was used in the courts. You see, when you went to court, you stood before the judge. You did. They would have your attorney, your lawyer, come and stand next to you and represent you. That's what this word means. On your behalf. You see, when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he sat at the right hand of the Father and began his heavenly ministry as our advocate, as our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start in chapter 9, then we're going to go to chapter 7, then we're going to go to chapter 4 of Hebrews. Hebrews 9:24 says this, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, He's talking about earth, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for who? For us. Us. That's me and you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 says this, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. That means completely and forever. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, that's good stuff. Our advocate. As Christians, we will fall. That's not our heart. We will sin. But it does happen. And when it does, our advocate immediately shows up before the judge, which, oh, by the way, is the Father. Think about that. You see, when you and I mess up and we come to the throne because of Jesus Christ, Jesus is right there with us, our advocate, our intercessor, standing before God Almighty. And we don't even say a word. Jesus looks and he goes, Dad. Khalil messed up. He sinned. And he confessed his sin. Dad. Do you see my blood that's on him? He's righteous. That's our advocate. That's our intercessor. So powerful. You know, in Luke 22, verse 31 through 32, we have this amazing account, this snapshot, this screenshot, if you will, of what this kind of looks like in heaven, because this goes on continually. I hope you know that. In Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus is talking to Peter, good old Pete. And he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Anytime Jesus says your name twice, bro, you better listen. It's like my mom when she used to use my first name, my government name. I knew I was in trouble. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You see, Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that. And he interceded on behalf of Peter. That's what he does for you and I. And that's just a screenshot. Just a little blip. Of the fullness of what it actually is. We'll close in verse 2 of chapter 2. We see that all of this is possible because Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. And this word in the Greek, it means atonement. It means an appeasing. It's only used twice in the New Testament. Once here in chapter 2, verse 2, and the other, John uses it in chapter 4, verse 10. And I want us to turn to that and look at that, because it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, Jesus is the only acceptable sacrifice that appeased God the Father. Nothing else, no one else, only Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, we read this. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus is the propitiation for you and I. That atonement, that sacrifice. That's why in John 14, 6, Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's why when Jesus was on the cross and before he gave up his spirit, he said, what? It is finished. The way has been made. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 5, we read, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It is only through Jesus Christ, period. That's why later on, John is going to write and he's going to talk about these false teachers, this false doctrine. And he says that it's a spirit of the Antichrist. And what he says is that these false teachers are denying that Jesus is the Son of God. They're denying that Jesus is God. And oh, by the way, there are many, many religions today that teach that. And it's wrong. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus is God. He is not a created being. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm Hawaiian. I got that cocoa in my veins. I love my Hawaiians. I had some of my uncles were heavy into the Hawaiian culture, and they would worship Hawaiian gods. And I struggled with this when I was writing this on my notes, because the spiritual warfare that hit me as soon as I put this to paper was incredible. And I had to stop. I couldn't even finish the sentence. And I had to pray and I had to ask for God's protection, because I felt the spiritual attack that immediately came upon me because I was going to talk about this. You see, Hawaiian gods do not save. Hawaiian gods do not cleanse us from our sins. If you worship a Hawaiian God, you are worshiping the devil. Please know that. And I say that. I got that blood in my veins. I am Hawaiian. And I've heard it from Christians. Oh, we're going to the big island to go see Pele. What? Oh, we're dancing hula and this honors this Hawaiian God. What? What is wrong with you? And I'm not scolding you. I'm being like John. In love, I'm saying that's wrong. There's one God. One mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ. You want to honor another God? That's Satan. That's the devil. Sorry for raising my voice. You and I need to understand that living a good life does not save you, does not cleanse you of your sins. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And John is saying, walk in God's light. Stop walking in darkness. Know and understand the truth, and not for ours only, John writes, but also for the whole world. And I love this, and I'm going to end right here, I promise. I know I say that all the time. And oh, by the way, if a pastor says we're going to end right here, that means another 30 to 35 minutes. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's another movement that's spreading through the churches right now, this Reformed theology. And what it is Calvinism. One of the doctrines that they have, if you know about Calvinism, you know the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, because each letter represents the theology that they believe in. Well, the L stands for limited atonement. And what they teach is this, is that Jesus only died for those chosen by God, no one else. The propitiation is only for those, so to speak, that's on the list. Which means that if you're not on the list, hey, sorry, you're going to hell. And you need to wait until you get this calling so that you can enter into this. I'm sorry. The word of God says, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That word is cosmos in the Greek. It means the world, the universe, and everyone that lives in it. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Not the ones on the list. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The choice, I started off with this free will, the choice, that's up to you. That's up to me. Please be aware of this movement that's coming through and stand on God's word. Be Bereans. So good, yeah?
Who opened your prison doors?
You've been listening to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Soro of Calvary Chapel, Leeward Coast. Mahalo for joining us as we study God's Word together. If you're on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, our fellowship meets Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Thursday nights at 7. Wake up and come on out. We are located at 87672 Farrington Highway in Ma'ili. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelleewardcoast.com. Aloha, a hui ho, ma lama pono. Until next time, may you know God's amazing grace.
If you had water in the wilderness, if you ever been pulled up out the pit, if you made it through and it makes no sense, yeah, that's how you know it was him. If you got a savior who broke your chains, if you got a maker who made a way, if you got a Holy Ghost in your veins.
prison doors.
Got it, got it.
Who dried up your ocean floor?